Delays continue on the North Freeway. Road debris slowing you down southbound at Little York. It is blocking a right lane. Over on the east loop northbound at I-10, there's an accident still sitting on the exit ramp and another one on the North Loop eastbound as you get to the Hardy Toll Road on the right shoulder. Scattered showers this afternoon with a high of 88, 80 degrees right now. From the TexanRoofing.com weather desk, Amelia Escobar, Sports Radio 610.
A sports genius, a former NFL player, and a millennial bro. This is Mad Radio with Mike Meltzer, Seth Payne, and Paul Gallant.
I'd like to see these two offensive lines next week actually go at it in a wrestling match together, because they would all just stop halfway through and smoke a cigarette.
Well,
yeah, you know, like the two big fat drunk guys start fighting, and they kind of like midway through just decide, what are we doing this for? That'd be those two offensive lines. Yeah.
This is Mad Radio, presented by Allstate Siding and Windows on Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
We are into the 8 o'clock hour on a Football Friday. Mike, Seth, and Paul. That means Kylie Wong is in this morning. Kylie, good morning. How are you, sir?
Boys, good morning. Man, I tell you what, I'm awesome. I love coming here. You guys are too much fun to listen to, but it's even better to join you guys, so thank you for having me.
Jeez, that's a ringing endorsement right now.
Is that not, Jonesy, is that not a little that? Plug?
Yeah, I feel like this has been good for our ego this morning.
I think
except
so.
For Lena from Fox 26. Lena has a biting wit about her.
Friend who stabbed me with a stiletto.
Yeah, she did. I'm excited about those two coming. We're going to have the Fox 26 people in every Monday and Thursday.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, let's start with this. You texted last night that you feel overall optimistic and you feel like the Texans are fine. Why are they fine?
Well, I'm fine, and I'm willing to say I would take your guys' money. When you guys were making your picks,
Texans -6.
Yep, I would take that. And the reason why I feel really good about that. Now, obviously, I also said the same thing last week. So we started there. But here's the deal. The New York Giants are coming into town. They have not been good offensively. And they especially haven't been good offensively in the first half, right? So I don't even think they have a touchdown in the first half. They probably have less than 150 yards of offense in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Texans come home. I think, you know, it is always great to open your season, you know, at home. There is a different energy. And so because of that, I think they get off to a fast start that we've all begging them to actually do. And it's a complete first half.
If there's one unit that I trust, or I should say if there's one coordinator at this point that I trust, it's Romeo Crennel. And it's not like Romeo Crennel hasn't had bad performances as a defensive coordinator with the Texans. When I compare him to Bill O'Brien and what the offenses looked like, Brad Seeley and what the non-existent special teams looked like on that fake punt, I trust Romeo Crennel right now versus a team that is led by a really smart offensive mind in Pat Shurmur, but that has really struggled to find a way to get anything going. And they're trying any and everything to figure out what they can do with an aging quarterback in Eli Manning, who just simply does not have it anymore, and an offensive line that is very, very inadequate, their right tackle especially, and a young rookie running back who just hasn't been able to get it going yet for a variety of reasons. I trust Romeo Crennel to keep that trend going. And then it just becomes, when it comes to a 6-point spread, I don't trust Bill O'Brien right this moment to necessarily cover that spread. Even though I'm picking the Texans to win, I can't take that 6 points.
Yeah, so I have no problem with that 6 points. And I look at it from this standpoint. Agreed. The offensive line of the Giants is poor right now. And that's why they should, the defensive line, the linebackers, they should eat this week. I mean, this is when they get right. This is when we're like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
This is so much fun to watch, right? Because you have a running back that does not do very well on first down, right? So, again, you're getting into second and eight. You have Eli Manning, who drops back, you know, takes deep drops, but does get the he does not throw the ball well downfield, okay?
Not anymore.
A lot of his stuff is kind of very short check down, almost reminding me of, you know, the Texans back in the day when it was, you know, David Carr would look downfield and then drop it down to double D, right? That's very similar to what they're kind of, you know, working with right now. And so I think that is, we have a formula to really, really get after them.
I'm curious as to how they're going to approach covering Odell Beckham Jr. because they have not gone up against a wide receiver anywhere close to that caliber thus far this season. What would you do if you were the Texans going up against him?
I would do exactly what everybody else does to Hopkins when Will Fuller is out, right? Like, I mean, you just roll an extra guy over to him. I mean, you know, you try to take away underneath, and then you put somebody over the top, and he's pretty much, I mean, he's X'd out in that situation. No one else really scares me out there. You know, and Eli Manning doesn't scare me. I think I saw a stat the other day is you know, like there was something, I don't even know what I was looking at, but I know that he was ranked 33rd, right? You know what I'm saying? Like that is a bad quarterback stat. If you're 33rd.
So I guess that would be somebody, that was before last night when Baker Mayfield inserted. So it's somebody that had replaced somebody else already.
Exactly. Josh Allen?
I actually think it was back in 2017. Might have been something about Nick Foles somebody who did something, interesting.
Michael Lombardi told us yesterday the number one focus for the Texans defense has to be making plays on underthrown deep balls. Like, and just, which the Texans at times sometimes haven't made plays on the ball.
Yes.
And they have guys that are capable of doing that right now. It might be the time where, if you look at what the Cowboys did last week with their slot blitzes, I'm anticipating a Justin Reed, a Tyrann Mathieu, perhaps a Kareem Jackson sack in this game. They're going to try to do what worked for the Cowboys and what hurt the Giants the week before, too. Just judiciously blitz them. And the Giants haven't shown that they can pick it up yet. Much like the Texans at times.
No, exactly. It's actually the same mirror thing that you would do to the Texans offense, right?
Yeah.
It's that the offensive line is just not handling. They're not processing these type of things. And yeah, I would not be surprised if we saw a DB get
This is where I am with the offensive line. I'm optimistic about the inside three, about Martin and the two new guards. The offensive tackles, what do I need them to do first, Kylie? Pick up the game physically or pick up the game mentally?
Mentally.
Mentally, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's mentally. You know, I think we talked about it or maybe we texted about it, but, you know, against the Rams, like there was a really, really great look that Rankin got to see when he went in the very first time at left tackle. And you had Jordan Akins and you had Rankin sitting next to each other. And Wade Phillips put four dudes in front of those guys. And then two of them dropped and two of them rushed. Those, you know, they were just it was so new. They had so limited reps, so many limited times seeing it. They didn't pick up anybody. Mm-hmm. They didn't block anybody. And there was two guys that ran free, right? Ran clean. And so, I mean, those are the types of things that you can just do to where you're not even beating them physically in any way, because Rankin actually does a really good job when he knows who to block and just it's one-on-one. And he does a good job. It's the mental aspect of the O-line that I think both the Giants and the Texans are very suspect.
And some of it has been, including in the one blitz, the Logan Ryan sack last week. I talked to Wade Smith for a good chunk of time about that one. And some of the other breakdowns in pass protection have been where the tackles have just botched relatively simple rules of pass protection. Where you can tell that they're nervous out there. They're like, I got to block the guy in front of me. Like, now you got to let that guy run free in this protection. And just do it, son. Instead, Logan Ryan is coming up free up the gut. Right into the lap of Deshaun Watson. That's where I'm hoping that's one of those things that all of a sudden clicks very quickly when guys just Martinez Rankin hasn't seen game speed NFL action for just more than a few weeks, and that hopefully this week, next week, sometime soon, it just kind of clicks for him.
Agreed.
Is Bill O'Brien hampering Deshaun Watson?
Is he? Yeah. I mean, I absolutely think he is. You know, sorry. You know, it's really been interesting watching, you know, the game is so much about flow, right? And we all understand that what a great quarterback does is pick up third downs. But I would like to, you know, Stanford has been a long, you know, with Andrew Luck there and, you know, who they have there now. Hogan was one of those guys where their job was to basically first and second down to do little stuff and then on third down pick up, you know, convert it. And I feel like with Deshaun Watson, he is capable of doing that. Don't get me wrong. And he does it well. But it doesn't ever seem like Bill O'Brien play calls to build on that, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's like the flow of the game doesn't ever progress for Deshaun Watson. He can't get hot and just get hot and nasty the way we saw him last year. There's always something kind of cute that then is mixed back in.
Yeah.
Right?
There's something like, hey, we worked at this at 2 a.m. and I want to be sure we get it in the game plan.
Yeah. Back to back off of a great play by Deshaun.
Yeah.
Right. And then, you know, whether it's a penalty or whether it's, you know, that play was a disaster with, you know, a reverse or some type of bubble screen.
Then all of a sudden it's like 3rd and 9.
Then all of a sudden you're asking him again, okay, you need to pick up this 3rd down, which maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. And let's just say he does. Like, allow him to just get, you know, to get that feeling and make it easy on him.
It's
right?
Like, it's honestly,
it very difficult on him to get hot and consistently just start feeling good about, you know, about his play. And that's kind of what I think is so different from this year versus, you know, last year.
If Bill O'Brien calls plays, it's almost like if somebody were making love by an instruction manual. Like, you're just like, hey, it's time for foreplay. This is what I'm going to do to you. Oh, you like that? Hold on a second. Flip to page 4. Okay, now I'm going to try this. The number one rule is if a woman says she likes it, just keep doing that. But just keep doing what she likes at that moment. Where guys in their play calling and love making tend to be like, oh, if she likes that, wait until she sees this. Bill O'Brien's just got to settle down and do what the woman likes.
Absolutely.
Okay? I mean, don't call the Wattcat after Alfred Blue just torches the defense. Give the damn rock to Alfred Blue.
Yes.
It's really easy. Just go back to the well, right? I mean, there's no reason. Maybe the other side of the field. Maybe instead of going right, you go left with it or whatever it is. But it just seems like there just has never been, you just don't get back-to-back you know, plays. I mean, you look at Andy Reid, the way he play calls. You looked at the Chicago Bears game, you know, week one. Yeah. I mean, it was just it built. It's almost like it built to this crescendo, and it just seems like everything gets stopped and by the Texans, whether it's through penalties, but a lot of it's just being cute.
It's not just that. Do they set anything up? It never feels that way. I mean, when they run the football, they just run it and they run it. And it's like, all right, we're just going to keep doing like, bah, bah, bah. You know, like they're going to keep doing it over and over again. But it's not like all of a sudden, hey, we're going to bomb it deep on a play fake or anything
like that.
Well,
but
they
have done that though. They've set up the interception in the end zone in the Patriots game was set up by some effective running earlier in that series. The question is, you got to have the quarterback to have the judgment to know that, like, okay, we're taking a shot here. They've called some shot plays. They haven't worked out well at all because Deshaun has forced that shot where it might not be the moment to do it, especially when somebody's in your face and you're just launching the ball up into double coverage. So I am okay with that, and I think if you're going to run the ball effectively and it does set up a shot, then take that shot. They haven't done a particularly good job calling passes on 1st and 10, and B, they've been poor throwing the ball on 1st and 10 too. And I think
first down's been bad, period.
Yeah,
just been bad.
And I don't know how much of it comes down to the predictability of Bill O'Brien. Like, even because there's a predictability in play calling that extends beyond just like, oh, they're gonna run it on 1st and 10. It's what kind of a run are you getting on 1st and 10? What are you setting up off of it? What are the options? I'll go back to the Vikings game 2 years ago where it was very obvious, Kylie, that the Vikings knew exactly what was coming. The safeties waited until every time it was a run, half second before the snap, one of those freak safeties would rotate down towards the line of scrimmage. And every time it was a pass, they stayed back in cover two. It was astounding how predictable they were.